So, happy day of resurrection. And let me see if I can do this subject justice, because as anybody who's in this line of business, believe it or not, that's what I'm in, there's certain subjects you speak to on a regular basis, so you always have to reach someplace new inside of you to deliver something new. So that calls for new work and more work and deeper work. And so I'm going to tell you a story that seems very not, you know, Easter-like, but it speaks to how resurrection shows up in the place that you least expect it. And I'm sorry, not all the parties are here, but on Friday, I guess that would be Good Friday. That would be Good Friday. Not a very good Christian. Good Friday, we had a meeting. And we had a meeting with the church, the authorities of the PPC church, with our governing body, or a few people representing our governing body. And we had, the purpose of the meeting was the negotiating of a new lease. Some of you who were at the town meeting last week are fully aware of what's going on, that there's some changes happening. And we absolutely declared that they are all good changes. They're all good changes. Changes all the same, though. And so what happened on this Friday is that we have a long contract. Don't you just love sitting down with long contracts with paragraphs and stuff? I didn't think so either. So here we are. You know, I really don't want to be doing this. I really want to be in the business of what I do, which is to dive deep in within myself so I can find a nugget of something, hopefully, to deliver to you on a Sunday or in the classrooms. But there I was, you know, trying to be all mature and do the adult thing. So funny. But thank God I had people there that were capable of doing that, which was Joe Schneider, Bill Sarnowski, and Reverend Rich Zayas, who is an interfaith minister, a member here, and happened to be a lawyer. So, you know, that was all good. So I didn't have to try too hard, and I didn't have to reach out to someplace too deep inside of me, because I got that part covered. And it was really cool, because during some of the questions, we would ask a question, and when we decided was it acceptable or not acceptable, I would just kind of glance over Richard, and he'd just give me this little thing. I went, yeah, that's fine. I don't think that we meant it to work that well, but it did. But this is what the resurrection was. I'm not a good negotiator by any means. If you want something from me, it's pretty easy to get something from me if you know how to work me. And basically, I lay all my cards on the table. I really don't leave much hidden. I don't want to play. I don't want to negotiate for life. So I will tell you all of what I have, what I'm willing to do, how far I'm willing to go, right on the table. I like it that way. I don't really want to have it be any other way. I'm not into, let me start it, you know, I'll pay you this much and you want this much, and no. This is what I require. This is what I require to be okay. What do you require to be okay? And then we might have to look at it, and then we listen to each other. So here came the magic. We began to listen to each other. It was one of the most beautiful experiences that I've had in a long time. I didn't expect to be reporting that to you. I wouldn't have expected that I could say, yes, we went to this business meeting, and out of this business meeting was this almost spiritual experience. And I say almost, but it was. Because what happened at the meeting was that I got a sense that we were part of this organism, this live, growing, ebbing, and flowing organism that was about to give birth to some other idea of itself. And I just got to be part of it, but I also got to witness it simultaneously, because I didn't walk in there attached to what was about to happen. And so the way I prepared myself, and so if any of you are in business and you have to deal with these kind of things, listen to what I'm saying to you. Pay close attention, because the secret of what I'm about to tell you is so simple, you could let it go by. When I was going to the meeting, the day before I was going to the meeting, I paid close attention to what I was feeling about showing up at that meeting. And I realized when I looked inside that I was holding some ideas of, not strong, but some ideas of resentment. And where they were born from was feeling separated from them, feeling not heard, not appreciated, not wanted, You know, just kind of all those things. And I thought to myself, wow, I got to clean this up before I go to this meeting. I can't be fully present to this meeting if what I'm carrying in the room is my resentment. Do you understand? So it's always good to pay attention when you're going to a table for whether it's negotiating or to be hired or whatever it is. What is the consciousness that you're carrying into the room? And what is the heart space that you're carrying into the room? You know, sometimes, you know, we talk a lot now that we want to have heart-to-heart experiences or heart-to-heart connection. And I say yes, but sometimes it's just good to think. Don't cast out your thinking for only a heartfelt experience. And I don't mean to demean that in any way. And I say that to you because sometimes when we let our heart be in charge, what happens is it's like putting a five-year-old in the seat of a Mack truck. You wouldn't do that, would you? So there are times. But an intelligent heart, a healed heart, a whole heart, there you're okay. So I did my work. I did my prayer work, and I showed up. When it first started out, I was a little clunky. I was a little clumsy on the first go-round, the very first conversation as it started. But I saw myself, I saw what I was doing, and I backed up. This is all inside my own head, of course. I backed up inside of my own head. I'm like, okay, that's not how I meant it to be. And so rethought about it on the spot and started to show up in a different way right there in front of what was happening, in front of this type of negotiation. And what happened was they started to speak and we started to speak and it all unfolded with ease and grace. And there was one item we knew would be an issue. We knew that going in, and so we're still working on it. But it happened with ease and grace. So what happened there? We have two different teachings. Now, it might not be a day to talk about differences or separations, except that, you know what? We're not all the same. Like, we're all one, but we're not all the same. I'm sorry, you and I, and depending upon our cultural backgrounds, we don't think the same. I will never fully understand what it's like to be in dark skin and vice versa. I will never fully understand what it's like to have been, if you are a practicing Jew or you were a practicing Jew, and to now move out of that, if you have done that, into the New Thought teaching. I will never fully understand that. I can be empathetic about it, and I can do a lot of good guesswork, but I don't really know. So what I realized in there that there was differences. So what my job was, not to try to be of them and them of me, but to coexist. See, we're here about coexisting. We're not here to try to blend, to homogenize to where they're all one color and one type. Yuck. I don't want to lose my identity. Do you want to lose yours? Matter of fact, with this science of mine teaching, if you are a practicing Jew, you should be a really good practicing Jew because this teaching empowers you to do that. And if you're a practicing Catholic, you should be a really good practicing Catholic because this teaching allows you to do that. Are you with me? This, we don't ask ever for you to give up or surrender anything, but to be the all of what you are. And that might be in whatever your teaching is. So here we are, we're at this table, and we're chatting, and I let them know that I had gone through this process. Oh, and we started with a prayer, by the way, which was a very beautiful thing. And when I said to them, you know, sometimes I don't feel, you know, wanted or accepted or welcome here. And she turned to me and straight out said, well, you're right, you're not. I'm like, but no meanness in her voice. What she meant was the elders of the center of their church, they don't get it. They don't get why we're here. And they don't really want us here. They want their church back the way it was when it was thriving. Can you get that? Like when she said that, I suddenly got it. They used to have a thriving work, and this was their overflow. They came here in this room to play basketball and have plays and have fun. I get it. I get now you don't want us here. But now there's no more energy around it. Do you see that? There was no more energy. She said that. I went, got it. No place for resentment. All the cards were on the table. Now, she wasn't being mean to me. Matter of fact, they were being quite sweet and quite pleasant. It was a wonderful gathering. But when you call something what it is, there's nowhere else to go with it. You know, when I go up to someone sometimes and I'll say, you know, how you doing? I'm good. And good is anything but what you really are. That's a true denial of the self. But when you tell me, yeah, I'm having a rough time, I was like, okay, now I know where to put that. So in the 40 days that some of you just spent within the 40-day practice, you spent a day, one day every day, or one item every day looking at something that needed to be looked at. Did anyone look at things you've never looked at before? Did anybody in this room look at anything that was brand new to them? No? Yeah, okay. I see a couple of hands. I'm referring to a 40-day practice that we did. And it was based on a book that I wrote. So it wasn't your typical Lenten practice. It was a conscious mind cleanse is what it was. You know, if there's room for us to talk about where something or someone is wrong, or something or someone is right, that conversation is in form. That conversation is a limited conversation. Nowhere can we, with all good conscience, stand up and declare that this teaching is the ultimate teaching without a complete embrace of all teachings. Because every time I think I'm right, that just simply means that everything else must be wrong. And there goes separation. And there goes limitation. And that's what we have been doing for decades. Centuries. Centuries upon centuries. Jesus evidently was not the only person to have ever resurrected. Do you know that? Is that new to anybody? Might be new to some of you. Is it new to somebody? It's not the only resurrection story. So do I really want to study even holding Jesus as a master teacher? And I do. And a master example. Do I want to think that life and spirituality begun 2,011 years ago? Bear with me. Wouldn't that be a little limiting? If life is eternal, spirit is eternal and infinite, is it not true, and this is what we teach, that it always existed, it will always exist? So could it really have been born on that day, at that time, at that moment? Did it not predate the incarnation of that individual? What happened before him? Everybody was just heathens? Creepy crawlies on the earth? I don't think so. So for me, for us, I'm not here to study or worship a man, and I'm not separating man from woman. I'm not here to worship a man. I'm here to worship the wisdom or to gather the wisdom or to be enticed to looking deeper within myself because of the wisdom that this person represented. I want that wisdom. I want what made him stand in that place that he stood with those truths. I want to know what made words leave his mouth, such as, "Forgive them, Father, they know not what they do." I want to know what drove this person in pain to say that. That's what I want. You right? You understand? I want to understand what the 40 days of the dark night is, the 40 days of going into the desert, or the 40 days of sitting under the Bodhi tree. I want to know what is the wisdom that keeps you still enough and what you bring to the table afterwards. I want to understand that. And so in this teaching, in this religious science teaching, as we are, you know, for me, I still consider myself a practicing religious scientist, even though that phrase is kind of going out. Studying the science of mind, I want to study the wisdom and the uniqueness of it, in that I get to drink of the inspirational waters from all places at all times. So, you know, I always do some additional research, and you know, every year I get reminded in my research where, you know, the pagans want to say the Christians stole all their holidays. But then the Christians want to say, oh, it wasn't the pagans to begin with. It's really hysterical. Some of this arguing goes back forever. They're still fighting about it. You know, whether it's Easter or whether it's Passover or whether it's the solstice, it's not the holiday and the religion that it's attached to. It is the possibility of transformation that happens on every day. We get to utilize this day. But it's not just this day. There's no one to wait for. You are the one. You are the one that you have been waiting for. You are the one that I've been waiting for. You are the one that we've been waiting for. There is no other. It's the I am that exists within the heart and the mind of each of us. That is the resurrection. That is the rebirth. That is the possibility. No one. No one outside. No other. There is no otherness. You with me? That's a distraction. Inspired by, yes. Yes. And it doesn't mean that then we have to consider anything as wrong, because right there's a limitation. Every single time, and we had this great conversation the other day in the 200 level class on Monday night, and we were talking about the difference between choice and the decision, and then what is a judgment? So I finally went to dictionary.com, which is my favorite quick tool. And we pulled up the word judgment, which was something I had to become okay about, because I had a very limiting idea about what judgment was. I had in my mind that judgment meant wrong, that I was judging you wrongly, I was judging you harshly. Judgment is not that. Judgment is a form of assessing something. It doesn't automatically mean that I assess you as good as I assess you as not good. And so if that's true, then I get to look at something in a new way. And how many other things have I believed that were limiting? How many other things have I believed? How many things have you believed were one way? You believed that Jesus, or some of you, that was the only one who was ever resurrected. And I'm sitting here telling you, it ain't so. Now, I'm not going to go home. You go home and do your own research. But you will find it. You have to look. But you will find it. Then we believe that he was born on the 25th, and everyone says, oh, that's not even possible. It doesn't work with the seasons. They guess, well, maybe around September is their best guess, and it has to do with the harvest and the whatever. I don't know. Do you know? Better question. Does it matter? It doesn't matter, because the resurrection and the resurrecting of one's being and one's soul is something that we call forth here. That we do, that you do, that I do, that we do together, or we do it alone. Because it's not even dependent upon a community. The purpose of the community is creating an organism that attracts others and makes a welcoming space for those who have just wanted more community in a place of celebration. Can this happen in your home? You bet it can. Which is the beautiful thing about the Jewish tradition, is that it's such a home-based teaching. Ernest Holmes and his brother Fenwick Holmes wrote this very beautiful book called The Voice Celestial. It's not an easy read, but let me read something to you from it. It needs no more of telling save that he passed the shore of earthly life, his words, a last command. Bear witness to the truth in every land, that I have risen from the dead, and I have given proof that only bodies die. Fear not, all ye who hear, you will survive. That which has seemed to die is still alive. The death that I would worry about if I were you is death of your inspiration, death of your passion, death of your enthusiasm. When you think you're too old to do something, or for some reason you just in some way believe that you don't have what it takes, those deaths I would really be concerned with. Because sometimes we get hurt just one time too much. And we decide to stop trying. We make a deep level decision about who we are or who we are not. And unless you're really looking, you don't even know what that thing is that's keeping you from embracing the all of you. You have to be willing to look and to see and then to feel it when it comes up. The resurrection is about reconnecting and re-enlivening the place of passion and beauty within you. You are the one that you've been waiting for. Why don't you say that after me? Say it this way. I am the one that I have been waiting for.
I am the one that I have been waiting for.
Kind of brazen, isn't it? Brazen, I mean. It's a bold statement. Let's try it one more time. I am the one that I have been waiting for. Wow. Feels strong, though. Does that feel good to you? Right? This is the truth of your being. From the supreme heights of the cosmic world, Christian D. Larson, a beautiful, beautiful being. He's the gentleman who also wrote the Pathway of Roses that I read from so often. I know Reverend Joel reads to you very often in your classes. Father, I am one with thee, one through all eternity, one forever in the past, one as long as time shall last. Thou in me and I in thee, life of endless unity. This my dear song shall be, Father, Mother, God, I am one with thee. Father, Mother, God, I am one with thee. Sweetest thought of truth to me, I am filled with life divine. Therefore boundless good is mine. All my life is lived in thee, perfect life of harmony. This my highest thought shall be. Father, Mother, God, I am one with thee. So what I'd like to ask you to do right now is to close your eyes. Take your hands, if you will, put your hands against your heart. And get very quiet and very still. This is an experience for you. This is not our closing prayer. So you want to stay within your own space, your own physical space. Feel the beating of your heart. Feel that. Let us praise the intelligence that has your heart beating. Let us praise the intelligence of the oxygen that gets spread throughout your body by means of your heart beating, that blood that is rich. Let us praise Mother Earth and how we are served. Let us praise the day of our birth. Let us praise our life and have gratitude for it. Let us feel the truth of our own intelligence, our own love. Down beneath the beating of your heart, down beneath the ideas, the limitations, there is this space, this core place that has never been hurt, harmed, or injured. It is the I am. That I am that was born with you, that has been with you forever, that will remain with you forevermore. Let us go to that place. And realize it hasn't been touched, it hasn't been altered. It cannot be denied, no matter what anyone else says, no matter what you say. That I am cannot be denied. It is your beauty and your strength and your potency on this day, let's celebrate the I Am. If I have to, I'll get on my hands and knees and I will beg you to believe in yourself. I will beg you to not believe in the distractions of mankind. I will beg you to not believe in the limitations of some of the education that taught you to think within a box. I will beg you to allow the I Am of you to be resurrected on this day and every day forth. So find that place inside of you right now. Find it. And know with me right now that I am the one that I have been waiting for. No one else. No one else. That you are the one that we've been waiting for. Because unless you free your I Am and give permission for your greatness, I am limited in mine. So I say, let us all touch that I Am. Let our resurrection not be limited in any way to any particular teaching. Let it be a full-out declaration of your true spiritual magnificence. Your resurrection is your embrace, the embrace of the self that is God, the embrace of the divine essence that is yours, the embrace of your divine birthright that no one can take away. Feel the embrace. It is you, my dear friend, embracing you. On this good and holy day, as every day is a good and holy day, as all ground is holy ground, let us say yes. Let us move above and beyond. And feel the embrace. When you're ready, open your eyes. Nowhere to go. Nothing to get. Nothing to do. To earn the perfection that you are. I can't give it to you if I wanted to. I'd like to. It's not mine. It's not any other ministers. It's not any other rabbis. It's not any other spiritual teacher. It's nobody. Nobody's to give you but yourself. Are you willing to embrace your divine essence? Then this is your day of resurrection, and it is a good and holy day. And so it is. So we will pray now. We will do an official prayer now. So hold the hand of the person next to you, if you will. Make some connection with your community. And let us feel the impulse that's happening here right now to be in full celebration, to be in full embrace of the good and the glorious and the grace-filled. Today's a good day. The sun is shining. Yes. We've been given a gift. And it could be the weather, but the truly is our attitude. For it is our attitude that governs our life and governs our life experience. So let us on this day declare that each and every day is a day of resurrection, resurrecting the self to the higher self, resurrecting the good to be free, to free it and have it be fully expressed. I know for each person present here that nothing, no one, no how, no way can ever stand in that way. There is no authority greater than this moment, greater than your own authority. So on this day, I declare that all is good and very, very good. We accept it in every cell, in all of our activities. We are led to full health, full expression, full life, full prosperity, full love. An extraordinary life. And for this, I am so incredibly grateful. And I make room for the embrace of the divine, even if it is me embracing me. On this day, I call it good as I release this word. And so it is.